Good morning. This is a meeting of the Pole and Conduit Commission. It is Thursday, November 16th at 10:05 a.m. Sorry for my tardiness. We're at the Michael J. Lombardi Building at 831 Mass Ave. Today, here are Superintendent of Streets William Dwyer and City Electrician Stephen Lankowskis, both commissioners of this board, as well as myself, Nicole Morabi-Pethard. We don't have any minutes to approve at this time, I don't think.
No.
All right. So, is there any resident here that would like to speak on any petition? No. All right. So we'll start with number one, a continuation from October 19th from NSTAR doing business as EverSource for the Albany Street project at 250 Albany Street.
We were waiting for
good morning.
Jackie Duffy, EverSource.
Ms. Duffy. D-U-F-F-Y?
Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead.
On this one, we were waiting for the MWRA to be sent in. I sent the bill in to Steve.
I'm all set with this.
Yeah.
All set. Receiving the A&M permit, and I believe you've already had all your meetings with the Public Works.
We did.
The motion to approve.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And with typical conditions also.
Next one is also NSTAR doing business as EverSource for the Ash Street project at Acacia Street and westerly from manhole cover 2229, a distance of about 86 feet of conduit. This work is necessary to supply power to 9 Ash Street. And again, for the record, Ms. Jackie Duffy.
Yep. This is just for 9 Ash.
Yeah, this came up prior, and we approved it to the poll.
And I think...
And then at the time, we had questioned why not the manhole, and EverSource said they could not feed it from that manhole.
Right, and now they are, right?
That's what they're saying.
That's come up a long time ago, I think.
Yeah. March of 16. We've asked all the other utilities to go out the Acacia Street corner, to go down within their property and exit that property from Ash Street, not Acacia.
So
I think we would have to do the same, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'd have to go down their property line and then exit on Ash Street. To be consistent with the other utilities.
Okay.
No, covered it.
Yep. Do we get an updated plan?
Yes, a motion to approve with an updated plan.
Second.
Exiting that on Ash Street.
So approve it with the...
We'll approve it, but the updated plan needs to be sent to us with typical conditions.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And also a new petition from NSTAR, doing business as EverSource for 3rd Street at Monroe Street and westerly from manhole cover 2699, thence turning southwesterly on Monroe Street, a distance of about 69 feet of conduit. This work is necessary to support the Crown Castle project. And again, for the record,
Jackie
Duffy.
This is the Crown Castle.
So it's being fed overhead now? That overhead's coming down?
I'm not sure. It doesn't say on here.
That shows in the plan. We've had some concerns with that in the past.
That it comes down, the overhead comes down first?
Yeah, it's being fed now. I mean,
okay.
They have service now, so... So
shall we continue?
So the motion to continue?
Second, yeah, I would do that.
Okay.
So you wanted to show on the plan that the overhead's coming down first?
Yes, because it's being fed now.
Okay.
So why it needs to be fed again especially if the overhead's there. If the overhead's going to stay, then there's no need to dig.
Okay.
Okay. So the motion to continue?
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye. And we're continuing to the December meeting?
Yes.
To the December meeting?
Yes.
All right. Also, a new petition from NSTAR Doing Business as Eversource for Bishop Allen Drive at Douglas Street and southeasterly from manhole cover 1848, a distance of about 125 feet of conduit. This work is necessary at the request of the City of Cambridge to supply power in a parking lot for submersible pumps and lighting.
Jackie Duffy, Eversource.
Thank you.
This is for the city.
I know DPW said they meet on site on this petition.
I know you called for six conduits there. I believe they were going to originally feed a temp service there also, but that's been changed.
I think it's changed under another work order.
So that should reduce the amount of conduits?
Probably, because I know Susan has another one for, I think it's under Bishop Allen.
It is. It's the manhole right in front, and it's only for a 200 amp service.
Right.
I know Susan's already talked to the city about that. And I'm just trying to confirm the amount of conduits. If you're asking for six, if it's typically it would only be two, correct? One in a spare?
Right. So you want to see if it changed?
I would like to confirm the change.
Okay.
Yeah. So I make a motion to approve with a new set of prints with the correct amount.
Yeah, I think the other one's under Bishop Allen.
Yeah, I know there's been talks back and forth, and they were going to. I believe it's the manhole right at 1846, and they were just going to feed a temp service there with two-inch or something. Okay, so that'd be a motion to approve with clarification of the number of conduits.
Second.
With all typical conditions. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I'll just be aware the moratorium starts the 22nd of November for everyone else here. So anything digging past the 22nd, you'll need a letter sent to the Commissioner of Public Works. And it's typically lifted in March or April.
Late
summer.
March, early April.
Yeah.
Weather dependent.
So the 60-day requirement to start these jobs will be extended to that time unless you send in a letter requesting an earlier dig.
Okay.
Right, thank you.
Thank you. Moving on for a continuation from October 19th of Light Tower Fiber Network to determine restoration and review conduit system for the Second Street project.
Chris Henry, Light Tower.
Chris, I'm sorry, how do you spell your last name?
Finneran.
Finn?
Eran.
Thank you.
Okay. I think this was continued because we're verifying paving and other issues, and I know there's been meetings with Public Works.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's all been resolved.
Yes, I met with Paul yesterday. We received our permit, both electrical and DPW. Alexandria is grinding and overlaying the whole street because they need to get back into it as well. So that was all confirmed by Jim Wilcox, who's running that project with them.
Okay. Okay. So motion to approve.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to Comcast for a new petition for the 201 to 239 Monsignor O'Brien Highway, a proposed 1-inch wide trench at various locations, total footage of about 216 feet, and an installation of 3 4x4 Comcast manholes at 201 to 239 Monsignor O'Brien Highway.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Could you please state your name for the record?
Anthony Vadalaro.
Remind me of the spelling of your last name.
V as in Victor. Mm-hmm. Atalaro.
Thank you.
Well, this is for future buildings, is it? Everything seems to be going in and being capped.
No. So there is a future hotel there that I want to put conduits in the ground for by the car wash, but this is basically to get to the data center, which is the last section of this trenching that you see that gets us into a level 3 manhole system. Mm-hmm. 225 is the Superior Nut Company. We've been trying to get there for a long time. He's been wanting service, so in this whole process, that would be my one and only way to get to him. And then obviously the, not obviously, but the beginning level 3 manhole connection is from the existing Comcast manhole to a level 3 manhole, and that's how we're going to get in. I have a full-size drawing here.
I don't think I need it, but
I'll take a look at it, Anthony.
So, but you're including level 3 conduit also, so they'll have to also apply.
For existing conduit?
No, it shows here they want new conduit. And they're going to plan. It's asking for 2 for you and 1 for level 3. Unless I'm missing the, it says 2 schedule 40 conduits for Comcast and 1 4-inch PVC conduit for level 3.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's not good.
Although it's DCR property, do we still need to get, do they still need to apply to us, the level 3? If it's in the same trench?
It's a tie-in. I would have to double check who we've done. I haven't seen this situation in a long, long time.
Because it's a state road. It's not a city.
Yeah, I
and it was always so.
My first instinct is that they would just need, we just need a copy of the DCR permit.
Right.
Yeah.
Permit.
I have the
long version or the short version.
The short version would be better, I think.
I think we'll be fine with just this.
Yeah, but it's just more or less coordination with the city now. They don't need to approve.
Would it help if I took ownership of the 3 conduits?
Well, I think we're more or less. The question I think that I have is, because it's a state road, I don't know that we need to. I think it's mostly for coordination when you're digging on state property, when you're entering.
Yeah, because I don't think I would be required to get a DPW permit, correct?
No.
Just coordinating. Yeah.
Yeah. You still may have an issue with, you need to work off hours, noise ordinance and things like
well,
that.
Well, that was the other thing is, this is kind of a time crunch for us, and this permit did take several months to get from MassDOT. So they've given us like a 5-hour window to work during the day, so we're going to try and, what's so funny?
5-hour window.
So we are going to try and get done what we can get done in the 5-hour window. And my next question would be, how does the city moratorium factor into this? Or does it at all?
When are you looking to go in there?
Tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow's not November 22nd, so the
no,
moratorium
I know.
Doesn't apply.
As soon as we can start would be.
On the moratorium anyway, you could put in writing why you need to do this and why you need to do it this time frame, this time of the year, and in fact you only have a shot window every day, things of that nature. We explain that and we'll deal with that at that point. But we do need documentation showing that you're coordinating with us because we may get calls from residents or concerned commuters. But as far as the MassDOT permit goes, that looks fine.
The only other thing that we should, because we have been asked, is get a breakout letter from level 3.
Did I get the burned out letter? Yes, I don't think I got that one for this one. I will get that to you though.
Okay. All right. Well, make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve with the condition that the breakout letter needs to come.
Correct.
That there has to be coordination.
With Public Works.
Public Works.
Right.
The Mass DOT permit that we have already.
Yep.
Which we've received.
Okay. And also provided that they start after November 22nd, the moratorium letter.
Yep.
If we start after the?
After the 22nd.
After the 22nd. So you need the moratorium letter.
If it's after the 22nd.
Maybe coordination with DPW.
Even if you've got to continue into that January, excuse me, if you were to stop Monday and need to continue past the moratorium.
Yep. You need a letter.
Drop that day, you still need a letter.
Okay. And that's to the commissioner of the DPW.
Public Works, yeah.
On those conditions, motion to approve.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Also, Comcast, a new petition for 426, I mean, for Hurley Street from pole 38 on Hurley Street trench south southerly, 5 inches. Is that it? 5 inches or 5 feet?
5 feet.
5 feet in the public way of property line of 310, 12, and 16 Hurley Street, installing 1 to 2 inch PVC conduit. This will include the removal and replacement of one sidewalk panel. And again, for the record, Anthony Badalaro.
Very good.
Thank you.
So I believe this has been done, or in the process of being done?
Yes, so that's for that new development.
Right,
that's
right.
And the private contractor will do the work.
Right.
That's developing.
He was going to try to do it at the same time he was doing the electric, which has already been approved. I believe that was the hope. So. All right, motion to approve.
Seconded.
Typical conditions.
Sorry, seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So would this require a DPW site visit?
You've already had it, right?
Yes.
Then I already had it.
So that typical condition has already been satisfied.
We'll have, excellent. We'll have we'll have an inspector on site sooner or later.
Thank you.
I haven't already.
Thank you. Okay, moving on for a new petition for Verizon Business. At Bent Street and Fifth Street, install 15 feet more or less of 1 4-inch PVC conduit and other supporting and protecting equipment from, what's the MFS?
It's a company. What is MFS? I'm sorry, you can state your name first.
Jay Watson, Phoenix Communications.
Yeah. Steve Peretti with Verizon Business.
Okay. Steve, I'm sorry, how do you spell your last name?
It's P-A-R-R-E-T-T-I.
T-T?
Yes.
I?
I, yep.
Thanks.
MFS Metro?
MFS Metro Fiber Systems, okay. they were acquired by MCI, who has since been acquired by Verizon. We still work as MCI Metro from a legal perspective. Verizon Businesses is more of a brand name. So MFS is also MCI Verizon.
Okay, so it's to install 15 feet more or less of 1 4-inch PVC conduit supporting and protecting the equipment from MFS Manhole 2 located at Bent Street and Fifth Street, westerly to existing PCB AT&T manhole located in the same intersection. And we have here a note that you would like to complete the work this year, provided the weather cooperates and the moratorium extension is granted. The conduit will be placed for fiber optics to offer triple diversity to 300 Bent Street.
Yes.
I'm sorry, TCB is who?
AT&T bought Teleport.
Oh, Teleport.
I do have a AT&T manhole breakout letter, if you like.
Ah, yes.
Thank you.
I
So this dig ties into the other, obviously the other two partitions you have also?
Yeah, basically, what the three of them are, we have two entrances that go into 300 Bench Street now.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do is make 300 Bench Street one of our triple diverse sites. And because of the way we would get in there a third way, we'd end up overlapping some of them. So we've got to kind of move two of them before we build the new one in, so we can truly get out of the building three different ways without having some commonality there. So that's the reason for the two smaller ones, is to kind of flip two of the entrances, and then the third one is a longer trench that would be its own standalone.
Look at some of the locations where you need to excavate. I think really realistically, DPW is going to need a little more research on this. So I would like to see some. We haven't already. I haven't heard of any site meetings being held here with DPW yet. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I don't think I haven't heard anything. I think that's critical for this project, and I know that will take a little bit of time. So I would suggest I recommend a continuation so we can get all this done and figure out where it all falls in place in the scope of paving and excavation and all that kind of thing.
So would that be in for all three petitions? Them all being as the same project?
Sorry to jump ahead here, but the sixth and Benny is that's critical. That was just paved in the spring, if I'm not mistaken, or late last fall, the one. And that's a lot of coordination with the given work on Rogers and down the street. And they also had a third street on Benny. I just don't see that happening this quick with those.
Okay, so we're also considering the 6th Street and Rogers Street petition and the Charles Street petition.
I have traffic major plans as well. Would you like to see those as well, or
for whom?
For each job here.
I mean, I think whatever you have will help us, but we still need to meet on site.
Sure. Answer the questions we have and coordination and get everything involved.
Plus the other police department, you'll be going right down the front door around this time of year, so this is going to be, I think, I'll agree with Bill that there needs to be a little more coordination with the city. So your motion would be to continue the next three petitions?
Yes.
And are we continuing to December meeting, or are we continuing longer than that?
I feel confident site meetings get done for the next couple of 3 weeks.
Okay.
I would think right after, probably the week after the holiday. Next week
after the holiday?
I would think so, yeah.
Just contact you, Bill?
Myself or Jaya, Noranjan?
Yep.
One of us, yeah.
And Paul, and not just the Jaya, or yourself?
You can go through Paul. If you work with Paul on other projects, go through Paul, and he'll get it to Jaya.
Okay.
So, motion to continue all three petitions from Verizon Business to December meeting.
I second it.
All in favor?
Yes.
Does that have a specific date set yet?
Yes, except I don't know it off the top of my head. But if you go upstairs, when you go upstairs, just jump into the License Commission right there and ask them. I can't remember. I want to say it's the third week of December. That Thursday, but I don't know what date that is.
Should be. I think.
Okay, we can check.
One more note on that too. Any emails go back and forth with Paul or Jay or myself, including Steve.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
I have it here as the 21st of December.
And if you want to leave whatever other information you have, like the traffic stuff, you can leave it with us now so we can
have it. Do you want the receipts as well?
No, you keep those in case we ever get complaints. You can show that you actually noticed the abutters. They're labeled, right? You're not going to make us do puzzles here.
This one here's got a nice cover letter, but these two do not. They're right on the top of them.
Yeah. Tell me which one they're for. Thank you.
Okay.
very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to a new petition from MIT for Vassar Street to install a conduit and two trenches at 120 Vassar Street on the MIT campus in Cambridge. Trench 1 will be excavated at the northwest corner of W34 and will continue 2-inch schedule 40 PVC conduits, telecom and electrical, and run 40 feet north to existing teledata manhole on South Vassar Street sidewalk. Trench number 2 will be excavated at the northwest corner of W34 and will continue 2-inch schedule 40 PVC conduit telecom only and run 11 feet north to the existing teledata manhole on South Side Vassar Street sidewalk. Work will be done by Sullivan and McLaughlin Companies and W.L. French.
It
says excavating, but I'm assuming it's excavating.
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. Excavating.
And those conduit lengths are total run. It's actually excavation number 1 is actually...
Before you continue talking, what's your name for the record?
James Guiry.
How do you spell your last name?
G-U-I-R-Y.
R-I-Y.
No, G-U-I-R-Y.
Thank you.
No problem.
And I'm sorry, you said those...
Those are total conduit runs, so it's actually, that's from MIT property to the manhole, to the handhole in the sidewalk, so excavation number 1 is actually only 4 feet in the public way, and excavation number 2 is actually 3 feet in the public way. And that's into the concrete paver sidewalk that's there.
And gentlemen, are you going to speak, and if so, can I have your name as well for the record?
This is Steve Britko, B-R-I-T-K-O, with W-L French.
Thank you.
Daniel Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, Sullivan McLaughlin Companies.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm with Walsh Brothers representing MIT.
Thank you.
Yeah, I did have conversations with, in regards to this petition. The majority of the work is on MIT property, but it did extend into the public way, so we required them to file a petition for the public way, a portion of the work in the public way. Mm-hmm. So it was more of a clarification of what was needed.
Yes, CPW is aware, and we're just waiting on the hearing.
Yeah. All being said, I make a motion to approve with typical conditions.
Seconded.
We've already met with public works.
Yes,
and
I think we're all set. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Moving on for a continuation from September 28th for 186 Communications for the Bent Street project. We had continued this until licenses were obtained.
Is anyone here from 186?
No
forward
one.
Mobility.
Showing that no one's here, I would say we... We continue 12 and 13 and 14. Yeah?
Yes.
Should we take them off the agenda until they tell us that they're ready to come back? Maybe that's what happened, or do we know anything about this?
I'm not sure how this got back on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
They might, I don't know if they contacted
Dana.
Your office or Dana. I tried to check with Dana, and I know he's on vacation.
Yeah, so why don't we take them off the agenda, and then just I'll just tell Dana that... to confirm once these are ready to go back. Okay, so 12 through 14 taken off agenda. Right. Number 15, also a continuation, but it's from Mobility for Pleasant Street Project. And we had continued this until the permits are obtained. I see Mobility here.
Yes, hi.
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 Morning, could you please state your name for the record?
Yes, Rosanna Ferranti, Mobility.
Thank you.
Good morning, Eric Callio, Permitting Manager with Mobility.
Eric, I'm sorry, how do we spell your last name?
K-A-L-L-I-O.
Okay.
I can share my business card with you if you like.
Thank you. That way you can get more later. Thank you.
Anybody else like my card?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
I got one more.
So Eric is on my team, and he's going to be working with you going forward. We did actually bring some follow-up material that you had requested at the last hearing in regards to what we have existing in Cambridge and what we have planned. So we can address that after the petition, if you'd like.
Sure. So when we got to this petition, this is have you got licensing?
Yes, we do. I did forward copies of those to Dana Clark. I also have a copy with me here as well, if you'd like me to submit a copy to you this morning.
Yes, if you do.
Okay. And again, I did provide electronic copies of those to Dana Clark in an email.
Okay.
Thank you. Both from Verizon and Eversource.
Made that perfectly clear. Well, we actually, Eversource never made us aware of that scenario, so we went back to them and said, listen, City of Cambridge has informed us we are not supposed to be putting meters. So they've confirmed, so now we're working with them with that scenario.
Okay.
Because there's only two places in Massachusetts that that's allowed, which is here and in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
It's squared that away.
I believe this poll was just changed out also. Put a new
just
poll in.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was just changed out or not.
Yeah, I don't have it reflected on the drawings, but there is a picture on sheet SP1 that shows what's existing there now. It's a wood pole with a light on it.
No excavation.
Good.
Okay, motion to approve with the typical condition being a utility permit from the electrical department before they start work. And no meter, of course. Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now,
the other.
For some other items. So, Eric, if you want to talk about the math.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So what I have received from our GIS group, which I can give you copies of, is there's three sets of maps here for our small cell sites. What I will do is I'll hand them to you here. So we have site pending in terms of the sites that will be coming to the council with, or commission rather. So the green triangles on the map that have site numbers are the sites that we're going to be looking to proposed to the commission, and then that's one map, and then the second map would be site construction complete, which I've gone through and approved.
Thank you. Those are the existing locations that have already come through the commission.
And then this is just a comparison of both site pending and the sites that are construction complete in Cambridge. And just so you know, that black line is, shows the city line boundary for where our sites are in Cambridge relative to that boundary.
So you found that what you've installed so far has been successful?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, works. So one of the items, and I'm not sure if the city has moved on this or not in terms of having an agreement with companies in terms of the city lights, the city infrastructure, if there's been any movement on that in terms of change. I know that before it was absolutely not on the table.
You mean to put on city poles?
Yeah.
It has, it's still with City Hall and the law department.
Okay. Because I know that's something that we would be very interested in. I suspect that all the companies would be interested in it.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest.
Okay.
A lot of interest, yeah.
All right, just wanted to
so
check in.
So with these proposed, are these locations on city poles?
No, they're all third-party poles, and that's why I asked, because we have told our site selection team to not select any city infrastructure.
Uh-huh.
But if for some reason that changes, then we would incorporate So we're limited by third-party poles in terms of how many we can build.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a question. These site pendings, are these what you imagine requesting within the next calendar year?
Yes, I would say so.
Yes.
Or a shorter period of time?
Well, they're all in various stages, right? So what there's a lengthy process before we get it to bring to you. And so it's field verification, it's confirming all the heights and everything that's appropriate. So it takes a little bit of time
mm-hmm.
to get through. So I'd say probably, I don't know, 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, I mean,
so
the reason I'm asking is I'm wondering whether or not this is what you're envisioning as kind of like immediate, considering these
more
things
immediate
take time. Rather than long term, because this is great and I really appreciate it, but I think we were also interested in terms of long term what you imagine that your needs are going to be in the city. Because if at every point we're at piecemeal, it's going to be a point where we see everything and it's just going to be so congested, not only by mobility but other communication
yeah.
companies. And we're trying to get ahead of that trend. Meaning so that we can continue envisioning these applications with a broader view rather than a now view, because otherwise at some point we're just going to have to start saying no to everything until we figure out where everyone's going to go.
So part of the challenge that all the companies face is that their locations are driven by demand, right? Network demand. So right now this is what we see as the immediate need in terms of what the network is demanding for customers. So I would say probably next 3, 6, 9 months. Now, in 9 months, though, there could be more demand that pops up someplace else that we weren't anticipating. Now, it's hard to predict where the demand will start peaking to where we need to have them. So that's why it's challenging to do more than like a year maybe out.
Do you guys have, and I mean, it might be difficult in a city scenario versus, you know, a space that's less congested with buildings and other stuff, a sense of how far away your installations can be for them to be effective?
How far away? So, okay, the way small cell, okay, so you're probably familiar with DAS or have how they're more like repeaters. So this is not, a small cell is not a repeater. A small cell actually links back to an existing bigger location somewhere in the city.
Okay.
And what it's doing is that bigger location is jamming up. There's so much usage for data, not voice, data, that it's causing the spinning, right? People are, the data downloads are too slow. And so these small cells offload those existing locations. So that's why it's less of a repeater function as more of a supplemental to existing locations. So the other piece is if city infrastructure does come into play, then we would have more locations. So that's, I mean, we could show you, like, theoretically what that might look like if we could do city locations, because I think it would open up quite a few more.
And remind me, these small cells don't have any fans or any generator. Yeah, right.
And, if you know, I know the city of Boston right now has all the companies on the, we're all submitting, we all have agreements with the city, so everybody's kind of going at the same time. So I don't know if you guys have been working with them or heard anything about their process, but they have a pretty extensive process in place. And to try to manage it, right, because it's first come, first serve. If we want to pull, Verizon wants to pull, how do you do that? So it's whoever puts in the information first, and I think there's also like a restriction in terms of how many feet each carrier can be
300,
yeah. So I think those are all good kind of controls to put in place on the municipality perspective.
So it's 300 feet between each DAS unit per vendor?
So they have a 300 feet, like you can't be closer, but if, for example, let's say Verizon wants to go in, let's say Mobility wants to go in and Verizon doesn't want to go there, they can work something out and it would be, but it's sort of like a threshold of 300 to allow other companies to also go in there.
Yeah, the agreements are all online, so, and they spell out kind of those terms and conditions.
And one of these sites can't be used by other companies. No, they're all
individual, yes, because of the height. So, you know, in back in the day when the big towers, it was easy to do like a 120, a 100, a 90, an 80. Now we're talking about a 35-foot pole. It really needs to be at that 35-foot
mm-hmm.
mark. I think all the companies hope in later on that there'd be some type of neutral equipment, you know, the equipment could accommodate more than one company, would be the ideal for everybody.
You don't see anything, anything past Howard Square going westerly or northerly?
We could ask, I mean, we could specifically say, what is the peak, you know, what's the data look like right now in terms of the usage, and are they anticipating anything? We're already trying to stay a little bit ahead, but we can definitely look into it.
And along the river, does the fact that the Child River is there that make a difference on tying into ones in Boston or cell uses using the ones that...
And it shouldn't make a difference from that, but it's a line of sight. There, you know, buildings and topography can make a difference, but the river itself shouldn't make a difference. And these small cells really are very small radius. They're not going far. They're just enough to connect back to the donor sites.
That's what part of, I think, plays into the fact we could become overpopulated with these things. That's what we saw, Steve and I saw a couple of years ago, that, okay, you know, this is starting now. It's just not going to get smaller. It's going to get bigger. And more companies are going to get involved, so...
Bigger in terms of
No, it's larger volume, yeah.
Yes,
Who's your, where are your donor sites?
We could get that. I don't know offhand, but it's definitely, they're all tying into an existing location.
Yeah, I think that will also help us in terms of your, I mean, I think your model is different from other models that we've seen.
Okay.
So I think it would, at least for me, it would be very helpful. I think it might also be helpful if this GIS link can be shared with us, not, I don't know the right IT type term, but so that our GIS people can also put it on top of the maps that they have with regard to other
ones. We can absolutely work with your GIS department if that's something, because we're limited in what, you know, we're capable of.
Yeah.
But if they, you know, you guys have fancier technology that you can do layers and such. Then.
Yeah, because I know that they're working on having that kind of stuff, so it might just be helpful to get the both teams to talk about what's the best way so that they can overlay it on the map that they have.
Yeah, I could set up like a call or just something to, you know, introduce the parties to be able to communicate.
But definitely, if we could have a map, this third map I think is the most helpful, at least for me. And if in this third map you can also put in where your, as you call them, donor sites.
Yeah, we've done that for other municipalities. They've asked us. They said, okay, so explain to us what that looks like, and we'll tag it to a site so that they know where it's offloading. It just gives more context. This is kind of new to everybody, so it just gives a little more understanding.
And you can certainly email that to us.
Okay. So I'm sorry, you were saying donor site?
Donor site.
Donor, that's the head end?
Yeah, so that's the existing location that I'm going to, just getting jammed up. I'm just being very layperson, but it's too much traffic. It needs to be offloaded so that the spinning stops, I like to call. Stop the spinning.
But it all eventually goes through the same site, whether it gets there through these.
Right, it's a supplemental. It's just trying to take some traffic off of it. But ultimately, the small cell doesn't replace the big site. The small cell just extends its capacity.
But all that information still has to go through the
main
site,
yeah.
No matter where it comes from. Now, do you have when you look at these, when you create these maps, do you take into consideration where other vendors are? So.
No.
So no, these could be right next, the pole right next to, or the...
Could be. Now, if we knew, let's say you had a process in place that said, look, we don't want you to be next to, you know, so many feet or whatever, then we would bring that into our site selection analysis and say, oh, no, we can't do that pole because it's too close to whatever. So that, you know, if that was part of the criteria, we would do that. But right now, we don't have that direction, so we select.
But I could see... four or five vendors in the same square block.
Yeah, that's why I think having that, and I know you guys do have a small cell committee process, you know, underway type of thing. I think it's important to have that, how you want to manage it. I mean, we'll accommodate whatever your process is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still the option of putting one of your units on private property, whether it be residential property or a commercial property, is still way out there.
Well, see, because right now, where we're going with 5G coming and all the data that everybody's using is we're trying to get closer to the user, and that's why we're in the streets. That's why we're not further up, right? We're at this lower level, just to get, so when you walk out of a building, you know, you're not just spinning. It kind of, you continue to have your data. Now, this is for Sprint, right? So every company has their users.
Mm-hmm. Can you carry more than one carrier?
No, but like I mentioned earlier, we're hoping the technology evolves. I mean, we're trying to keep up with the technology just like everybody else. We don't know. I don't think we first saw this 10 years ago. So I don't know. But I think it's this whole 5G coming with the faster speeds and more data, ways people use data. Everyone's trying to keep up with it. Any other questions? We're here as a resource, so anytime, you know, mm-hmm. something comes up, we're more than happy to at least give you our perspective on how we do things.
So you're also pursuing sites in Somerville and neighboring communities?
Yes, we're all over Massachusetts. All over the country, quite frankly. I oversee the Northeast region, so we're everywhere. We're in New York City, we're in Baltimore, we're everywhere.
Mountains high and low.
Yeah. We just built our first site in Boston, but we have a lot of Boston sites approved. So it's just a matter of us not building them.
Are they on, in Boston, are they on city-owned poles?
Yes. So those are light poles. So we're very flexible on design. So those are decorative light poles.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks different. It's, you know, concealed in the base. So that's why, you know, we're more than happy that when the city is, you know, ready to have that conversation to come in with a portfolio of different options. It's not just, you know, sticking it on a light pole.
You got a catalog of poles.
Exactly, a catalog. Well, the way the city did it is they basically said they pre-approved so many designs. And so they said, look, these are the only designs you can come and apply for. And so that's all in the agreement. And so then now when we apply, it has to be one of those pre-approved. So it saves time on the design discussions,
sure.
Unless for some reason, you know, the city decides to change everything. But they kind of, I don't know, they seem to be doing pretty well with their setup.
And that also includes, you know, if there's sensitivity to color, you know, we can certainly work with the city on that too, if we need to make it black or green or you know, whatever.
Gold.
Flashy lights, neon.
Bedazzled.
Oh, I like that. Bedazzled pole.
We have historical districts also that would need to be reviewed. In and around Harvard Square and Brattle Street, all those areas.
Right.
That's another layer of
process.
Approval and process,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And that's how that's what we have in Boston. So
yeah.
We have the Landmark Commission and we have the neighborhood groups and so we have a whole pool of sites that need to go through that process that we haven't started yet, but that's, so I suspect it'd be the same in Cambridge.
So the larger, not so much a problem, but the larger process is dealing with city-owned property in Boston and other areas, because if you go on a utility pole, it's just a more or less a request. I mean, you're able to go on a wood pole.
Right, in terms, but we still have to go through a process in Boston to get approved for it.
Right, right.
It's just a little bit different because it's not there.
Yeah.
It's not owned by the city.
Yeah.
But just, you know, lots of opportunities. But I mean, across the country, everybody's kind of trying to figure out the same thing. So it's not unique to Cambridge. Or
okay. All right. Well, thank you.
No, you're welcome.
Thank you.
And what I'll do is I'll send you the names of the people in our GIS unit
okay.
so that you can put them in touch with your people.
Great.
And then in the meantime, if you can get me that map, that would be great.
Absolutely.
And we'll speak
Thank
to
you.
Our engineers and see how much we can, how far out we can push anticipating, you know, this may be the next, you know, area or something.
Yeah.
See what we can do to get a better, longer view.
Type of information we'll be looking for is as far as locations. We do have all the poles with the Latin long of all of them. If you've got a correct pole number, then if you gave me a specific pole number, we can attach it to our GIS.
Okay.
Oh, that's great. Not everybody has that.
All right. I'll definitely harvest that.
information on the pole numbers and put that as part
of
the
map. Yeah, all they would really need is a spreadsheet of pole numbers and
okay.
And just, you know, we've already started generating that same thing with Crown Castle, who has over 100 units out there.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your time.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good morning.
Thank you. So before we go off the record, I wanted to mention, I don't know if you guys saw that we have, there was a city council order about the North Point project. And since we had that pole and conduit, you remember when we had those, the people complaining about why they were going a certain way and it was because of MWRA.
For the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put it on your radar because I know they said that they might come back with a pool and conduit application for other work down the line. Do you remember how that guy said that there were? You weren't here at the meeting.
I was just thinking that doesn't ring a bell at all. Not even.
Well,
I think
they came before us because they're going down Gore Street to connect to MWRA at the Somerville line. And the reason why they came to us is they are asking for a communication conduit to talk to the pumps and do levels and everything else.
Oh,
that's how it came to us.
I remember, Jimmy spoke.
Jimmy
to
came.
Yeah,
yeah. So, and the neighborhood was not really happy about it.
So, you're concerned. We need to respond to the city council.
No, it did not get assigned to any of us. I just wanted to bring it to your attention because since it didn't get assigned to any of us. I don't want people speaking improperly about this. I don't know that it got assigned to anyone.
I've not seen
as of right now, but I just wanted to put it out there because, you know, obviously there was, you know, MWRA asked for this route, and I know that some neighbors are concerned about it and are concerned about the project, but just to keep our eyes peeled for anything that comes down the line.
We'll do.
All set.